May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I have always had a healthy respect for fire. I remember my dad teaching me the right way to light a match and how to start a proper campfire. I always helped him burn leaves every fall in our backyard. We had a fairly long and wide metal mesh cylinder that Dad placed over the leaves as we burned them, though we still kept our trusty hose next to the fire, ready to go just in case the fire got out of control. It is probably a good thing communities banned leaf burning, but my dad and I never had a problem. We were prepared. Living in California for over 13 years, I continue to have a healthy respect for fire. A few years ago, our drive home from Palm Springs took over 5 hours because fire had jumped the highway and we had to take a long detour. Do you remember the station fire that started in late August 2009 and burned until mid-October? It burned over 160,000 acres, 209 buildings, including 89 homes, and threatened the nearby communities of La Canada Flint Ridge, Pasadena, Glendale, La Crescenta, Altadena, and others. It was so huge and intense that I remember sitting on my deck looking northeast beyond downtown L.A. and seeing this dark red eerie patch that dwarfed the city. It was haunting and devastating, and to this day contributes to my healthy respect for fire. With the very first sentence in today's gospel, all of my fire memories suddenly were rekindled. Jesus said to his disciples, "I came to bring fire to the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled." In case you ever wondered, this verse provides definitive proof that none of the disciples were Californians. Because if they were, they would have named Jesus' fire. I don't know about you, but when I first read today's gospel as a kid, this verse and the entire gospel lesson from today scared me. Jesus not only came to bring fire to the earth, but proclaimed that he came to bring division to our families and sternly rebuked us for not being able to interpret the signs of the time. This does not square with my loving, kind image of Jesus, the Prince of Peace, who preached the gospel of good news and love and famously said, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these." As a kid, I was perplexed and, yes, even scared. However, as we dig into this gospel reading and put it into context, we realize that Jesus' words for us today are spoken through a deep and caring love for each and every one of us. Today's gospel combines tough love with a strong sense of urgency. In last Sunday's gospel from Luke, Jesus told us that we must be ready because the Son of Man will come in an hour when we do not expect him. Jesus loves us so much that today he is leading the witness and giving us the answer all rolled into one. Jesus is warning us about what is to come and preparing us for life as his true followers and believers. And in so doing, he is deeply loving us. While Jesus' proclamation to his disciples and to us that he came to bring fire to the earth appears harsh and unnerving, he certainly gets our attention. This is serious, and Jesus wants us to know what is at stake. Jesus' pronouncement about fire was foreshadowed earlier in Luke when John the Baptist said that Jesus would baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Baptism with the Holy Spirit occurred on Pentecost, as described in Acts, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit was giving them utterance. Baptism with fire, according to biblical scholars, refers to the judgments accompanying Christ's coming again. Fire also is a metaphor for purification. In today's Old Testament lesson from Jeremiah, we hear these words. Is not my word like fire, says the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks a rock in pieces? Scholarly commentary for today explains that the Lord's word is like a refiner's fire, which burns away chaff and impurity, leaving only that which is pure and valuable. It is like a hammer which breaks, shattering all pretension and self-confidence. Or as that age-old adage says, be patient, God isn't finished with me yet. We are called to listen to the word of the Lord and do our best to love and follow Jesus each day, and as we do, become more refined in the ways of the Lord. We all need the cleansing fire of God's words in our lives, which keeps our hearts from going cold. By the grace of God go we. As a catechism section of our Book of Common Prayer explains, God sent the prophets to call us back to himself, to show us our need for redemption, and to announce the coming of the Messiah, Jesus Christ, who was sent by God to free us from the power of sin, so with the help of God we may live in harmony with God, within ourselves, with our neighbors, and with all creation. The bridge for us, of course, is Christ. And when he said that he wished the fire were already kindled, his longing for closure was clear. He knew the trials he would face when he said, but I have a baptism to undergo and how distressed I am until it is completed. Jesus' baptism led to death on the cross, which leads to life everlasting through grace for each of us. This is the crux of it all because, as our Episcopal Catechism explains, by his obedience, even to suffering and death, Jesus made the offering which we could not make. For in him, we are freed from the power of sin and reconciled to God. And by his resurrection, Jesus overcame death and opened for us the way of eternal life. At this point in the gospel lesson, Jesus tells us that he did not come to bring peace on earth, but to bring division. He said, from now on, there will be five in one family divided against each other. Three against two, and two against three. Just so we're straight, we're not talking UCLA versus USC. We're talking about whether we personally choose to follow Jesus or not. Neutrality is not a real option here. We're all called to make a choice. Jesus is warning us that our choices have consequences. If we choose to love and follow Jesus, we risk creating division, conflict, and possible alienation from those closest to us. If we reject Jesus, we face separation from God. The first disciples left their families to follow Jesus and possibly experienced the strains of which Jesus spoke. A number of years ago, a friend of mine followed his heart and decided to go to seminary and become an Episcopal priest. Despite the fact that this decision unfortunately led to the end of a long-time personal relationship, he later said that he had to be true to himself and to God, despite the pain that the loss of the relationship brought to him. Today's church also continues to face opposition from without and from divisions within. Christians are still persecuted in parts of the world and are under pressure to stay silent in the face of social injustices. If we are to be Christ's voice and hands in the world, Jesus warns us to expect opposition. Next, Jesus turns his attention to the crowd and questions where their focus is in their lives. Many of the people in the crowd were farmers, and by necessity of survival paid close attention to the weather. A cloud rising in the west came from the Mediterranean and promised rain, while a south wind came from the desert and promised hot and dry weather. We are not so different from those in the crowd some 2,000 years ago. What signs do we focus on? Given our drought and dry conditions, we too often focus on the weather. But what else? Do we focus on the stock market, our bank account, political ins and outs and the effects on us, our weight, or perhaps grade point averages? Whatever our focus may be, Jesus is emphasizing that whether the day is hot or rainy only matters for a short time. However, it matters forever that Jesus came as the Messiah, our Savior, and calls us to love God and to love our neighbors as ourselves and to be Christ's witnesses in the world. That is the priority, the focus that Jesus wants us to have in our lives. Finally, to quote the Apostle Paul, "When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child, and I reasoned like a child." Yes, when I was a child, today's gospel lesson scared me. However, once I realized that Jesus cared so much that he believed it was urgent to warn us about what is to come, to prepare us for life as his true followers and the believers, and to make sure that we focus on the saving grace of Jesus, it was then that I realized that this gospel lesson isn't scary or negative at all, but underscores Jesus' deep and everlasting love for us. Let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us. May we embrace and accept the love of Christ, and may we share it with those who know, we know, and those we meet each and every day. Amen.